Yeah, hello and welcome to the film and TV show Near FM's fresh look at what's happening in the Irish film and television industry. Today on the show, we have an interview with actor Owen Quinn. We have a review of the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water. And of course, we have all our regular news features to keep you up to date and keep you happy. Yeah, welcome again to the film and TV show on Near FM. Joined in the studio by the lovely Gemma and Dan the Man.
Hey,
that was Dan, not Dan. Gemma.
Probably all I'm going to say.
Well, let's see what more we can get out of you. How you doing, Gemma? You all right?
I'm good, yeah. I'm a little bit flustered today. The weather is bad and traffic is
stuck
bad.
Stuck in traffic. Oh, dear. Yeah.
I know.
But we're going to kick things off with a little bit of IFTN news. Isn't that right? What have you got for us this week?
This week started, kicked off on Tuesday, was the Limerick Film Festival. And yep. It runs for the month of April. And, it's a lovely little festival. They have loads of really interesting talkers. We have Brendan McCarthy, who is co-author of the new Mad Max Fury Road film.
Wow.
That's due to release in May 2015, and he'll be speaking on Thursday the 23rd of April. Yeah. We also have Irish film director Kevin Liddy. He'll be screening his short film, which is The Suffering Kind, and that was winner of the Spirit of Cork Indie Film Festival. And he also did another film called Horse, which I didn't see, but he'll be talking on Friday the 24th of April.
Yeah.
And then the final speaker is Patrick Cassidy, who did work on the soundtrack for Calvary, and he'll be speaking on Saturday the 25th of April. So it's a really nice little film festival, and I actually have a short in the film festival.
Oh, a little self-plug here, yeah.
I do, yeah. It's nominated for 3 awards.
Wow.
So it's called Infinite. So I'm dying to see. Just get one.
Yeah, so you'll be going along to that, will you?
I'm going to try and get down there. Hopefully. I'll get to see.
Might have an on-the-spot report.
That would be really good, yeah. I could see what people think of the film. I love it, so hopefully other people will as well.
Yeah.
On Thursday the 9th of April at 7 p.m. till 9 p.m, we have How to Get a Job in the Film Industry. So it's really good. It has a panel of experts, including Irish producer and US originated feature film and television drama Morgan O'Sullivan. His recent credits include Vikings, Camelot, The Tudors, and he'll be joined by cinematographer David Grennan, who's worked on Eamon, Kisses, and What Richard Did, which is, I love What Richard Did, it's a brilliant film.
Mm. What did he do?
What Richard,
he did something bad, I think, didn't he?
He beat someone up, yeah.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but he
did
something
bad. It's really good. It's Lenny Abrahamson.
Yeah.
One of his films. Lovely, it's shot really well, and it's beautiful, and...
Yeah, I met Lenny Abrahamson at the weekend. Yeah, I was at Jameson Festival Conquering the Script conference, 2-day conference.
Oh,
and he kicked it off, so I shared a coffee with him.
That's brilliant. Did he give you any tips?
Not really, no.
Oh.
Less coffee, more sugar. That's all he said.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And he has his...
Wise words.
Yeah, very wise words. Like Adam and Paul, the script for that is amazing, and Garage as well. The script for that, it's kind of, he's right, less is more sometimes. And
well, actually, that's what he didn't say that about the coffee, but that's what he said. He did actually say that in his talk. He said when people give him scripts, he likes to see scripts that actually contain less, so he can
less
fill in
dialogue.
The blanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Less everything. Yeah.
Yeah, and like it's lovely to watch Garage, especially. It's all about how people kind of the awkwardness between people and in rural life and stuff, and you don't need dialogue, it's just the way the actors are between each other. It's lovely. Anyway, some of the other talkers are BAFTA and ACE winner editor Tony Cranston. He did Death of a Superhero. Noel Quinn, he's an Emmy nominated sound recorder. He does Moonboy and Calvary, he did. And graphic designer Paul Grady. So he kind of started off doing movie industry storyboards, and now he kind of works. He has worked on Ripper Street, Penny Dreadful, Calvary, and Brooklyn.
Yeah, so, and he's worked for Mel Gibson.
Which I don't
know.
That's
pretty good, isn't it?
That is pretty good. Yeah. I assume. Yeah.
No, let's
hard
hope
work,
so.
Maybe.
Let's hope it's good to work for Mel Gibson.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else?
And then entries are being accepted for the Dublin Animation Film Festival, which is celebrating its 5th year. So if you're interested, the festival has grown dramatically from like a 1 day event based in Blackrock, and now it's a 2 day event which will be held on the 16th and 17th of October in IADT. And so if you're interested in applying for an application form, go to www.dublinanimationfilmfestival.com. And if you have any little, you know, standalone pieces, I'm sure.
Of course, animation has really sort of taken off in Ireland recently, hasn't it? With Song of the Sea and all the success at the Oscars, it's a big deal now, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. Definitely is. And, you know, Brown Bag.
Yeah.
It's huge, like, as well. So, yeah, if you have something, definitely send it in.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the film Ruby?
I haven't. Tell me about it.
I've seen it last year at the Jameson Film Festival, and it's screening on Easter Sunday on TG Cahir at 8:05. It's Os Gaeilge, and it's a lovely little film. It's 11 minutes long, and it's basically about how a young child kind of deals with her father passing away, but it kind of, it's very imaginative, and it's interesting. It's visually interesting, and it's a good use of the Irish language. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was it's one of the best I've seen.
Yeah.
So that's going to be airing on Sunday on TG Cahir. It's written by Anton Bjog Okala and produced by Gemma O'Shaughnessy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That sounds good.
And the Dublin Film Critics Circle have announced the winners for the Jameson Dublin International Film Festival. So Jared Barrett, who was kind of, if you were going to put your money on somebody, if you were a betting person,
I am.
You should have put a bet on this.
Oh, it's too late.
Yeah, it's too late now. But you should have. Jared Barrett, he kind of came onto the scene with Pilgrim's Hill.
Yeah.
Which he did just after college. He took out a credit union loan.
They do.
He took it out and he funded it himself. He got all the, he got his camera, a red camera, and he filmed it all. And I think it's a feature length. And it's set in Ireland. And it was a brilliant, got loads of awards. So he has his second feature, Glassland, took home Best Irish Feature at last year's Galway Film Fla, and received Jeannie Mac, I can't talk today, rave reviews at Sundance, and that picked up Best Irish Film. That's starring, from What Richard Did, Jack Rayner,
of course, yeah,
and Toni Collette.
That's pretty impressive cast.
Yeah, it's very impressive. And the storyline is, he's a cab driver, Jack is, and he is trying to fund his mother's entry into rehab because she's an alcoholic. It's lovely. It's not a comedy.
No.
But it's a really interesting story.
Yeah.
So if you can get around to see it, you should. Who else? Wheel of Fortune, the story of the legacy of the Fairview Lion Tamer.
The famous Fairview Lion Tamer.
Yeah, won Best Irish Documentary. Best Film overall went to, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Miroslav Slaboff.
Yeah, I'll give you that,
That was The Tribe, and that's a Ukrainian film about a deaf-mute teenager struggling to fit in at a boarding school. So that's hard-hitting as well. Best Director Prize went to Ruben Oistlund. For the film Force Majeure,
yeah.
Close enough.
Thanks.
Well done, Dan.
I'm still here.
Yeah. So, that's kind of it for the big part of IFTN.
And we might have some more,
we might have some
towards the end of the show.
Yeah. Snippets.
Dan, anything else you'd like to...
Next Thursday in the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
Ryan Gosling's new film, Lost River, his directorial debut, has been shown. The world premiere is at the Lighthouse for it.
Oh, okay.
And he's doing a Q&A session afterwards through a live stream.
Dan, there was a reason you were coming in today. Yeah. Ryan Gosling at the Lighthouse. Nobody knows about this.
I'm not sure if he's there in person or if it's just going to be through
a live stream.
Maybe a live stream.
After the film. That's probably what it'll be.
Okay, we'll interrogate Dan a little bit more on this. In the meantime, we're going to have a bit of music from Marilyn Monroe. Okay, so we're joined in studio now by Felicity for Felicity's Flicks and Picks. Very welcome, Felicity.
Hi, Paul. How you doing?
Very good, very good. What's on in the movies today?
Well, today sees the opening of Fast and Furious 7. If you've seen all the other
I haven't, no. I'm not
Installments?
A big fan, no.
No, it's an action film. It's made for, I think, men, mainly. Written by Chris Morgan, directed by James Wan. It stars Vin Diesel, Paul Walker, the late Paul Walker. So we see... he actually died last year, so while they were filming this particular film halfway through. So I think they've used some form of technology to finish the film, and his two brothers, Caleb and Cody Walker.
Oh, very good.
Are used as stand-ins to complete his remaining scenes. I guess it's a big action movie, sort of big.
Lots of car chases, I'd say.
That sort of thing.
Lots of fast car chases.
Yeah.
And what's the furious bit? I don't understand that.
I think some people are hoping that to get Vin Diesel. I think they want to bring him down. So I think there's a lot of testosterone really just going.
They're very angry, maybe. They're furious.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been furious for a long time, haven't they, these people?
Well, do you know what? Cineworld are showing a double bill on Thursday, Fast and Furious 6 and 7.
Okay.
So maybe you'd like to go along to that and catch up on what the...
I'll pass on that, thanks, Felicity. What else have we got in the movies?
Well, we have The Water Diviner. That's opening on Friday. This is a historical fiction drama directed by his first directorial debut and starring Russell Crowe.
Right.
So this is about an Australian man that travels to Turkey after the Battle of Gallipoli to try and locate his three missing sons.
Yeah, I think they're dead. Not wanting to spoil anything. I think he knows that.
No,
he knows they're dead.
He thinks they're dead, and he wants to find out what happened to his three sons. He promised his late wife that he would find out what happened to them, but they all went missing. When he makes his way to Gallipoli, he finds the graves of two of his sons and finds evidence that one was taken prisoner and might still be alive.
Right. And why is he looking for water? That's a subplot, is it? He's thirsty.
Why do you have to ask these awkward questions?
He's divining for water.
I think I saw some sort of clip where he was down a well. But basically, it's Gallipoli. The Battle of Gallipoli was during World War One, and it's a big battle in terms of Australian and New Zealand memory, and that they commemorate it on the 25th of April 1915, because the Allies suffered a huge loss. And Australians and New Zealanders were part of that campaign with the Allies.
Yeah, so it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's also the 100th anniversary of Gallipoli.
Of course it is, yeah.
1915.
Yeah, very good. Okay, what else have we got?
I think we move now to a drama comedy. It's called While We're Young.
Yeah.
It's directed, written and produced by Noah Baumbach.
Yeah.
I've
heard of him.
Yes, he did Greenberg, which starred Ben Stiller. And Ben Stiller is in this movie.
Okay. He also did Francis Ha.
Ha. I haven't seen either of those movies.
I saw Francis Ha. It was very good, yeah?
Yeah, if you like him, well then maybe this is something that you'd like. It's basically about a couple, Ben Stiller and Naomi Watts. He is a New York-based documentary filmmaker.
Right.
And I was reading up on it, and I think he's been trying to make a documentary for about 12 years, and he's kind of stuck.
Yeah.
They've been in a relationship. They don't have children. Her father is a very famous documentary maker. Anyway, they come upon a younger couple, and they start hanging out with this younger couple. And the male in the relationship, in the younger couple, is also a documentary maker, but he's new, he's fresh. So the story, I suppose, revolves around what inspiration he gives to Ben Stiller
to get his mojo back.
Yeah, but also I've seen some clips, and there's a lot of clips where Ben and Naomi Watts are, although they're in their 40s, they start trying to take on some of the things that 20-year-olds would do.
Oh, okay, that sounds interesting.
So that might be funny.
So it's a comedy drama or a dramedy.
Yes.
So maybe it started off as a comedy and it wasn't very funny, so they called it a comedy drama.
I don't know, but I'm not really familiar with the director's work, so...
And then we have Duff is the last movie.
Yeah, this is it's a comedy. Director Ari Sandel, it's a it's like a high school comedy. I suppose maybe along the lines of, I know Mean Girls has a really big reputation in that genre.
Clueless, maybe.
Yeah, but it's about a young girl whose world is shattered when she learns the student body refer to her as the Duff.
I wonder what a Duff means.
I'm going to tell you.
Lovely.
It's not very nice.
Yeah.
It's designated ugly fat friend.
Oh dear.
It's a bit harsh.
It is a bit harsh, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Because we have a different meaning here in Ireland. Up the Duff means something else, isn't it?
It does. In America, it's apparently designated ugly fat friend.
Oh.
And it's, I guess, anyone would be shattered if they overheard that particular name.
Yeah.
She's being compared to her much prettier and more popular friends.
I would guess that she wins the day, does she? We don't know that. We'll have to see the movie to find out.
I think it might be an uplifting kind of story.
Let's hope so.
How she goes about, I suppose, discarding that particular label.
Yeah, improving herself.
Yeah. Improving that, you know, we don't all have to be super gorgeous to have a nice friends and nice boyfriend.
Doesn't star Hilary Duff, does it?
It doesn't.
That would be too much of a coincidence.
It stars Mae Whitman. I'm not really familiar with her either. She's an American actress. She's known for her roles as Anne Vale in the TV series Arrested Development, which is a very popular series.
Yeah.
And Amber Holt on the TV series Parenthood.
Very good.
She's a young actress. She's only about 26.
Okay. And then there's one more thing you wanted to mention about Autism Day.
Autism Day. It's World Autism Day on Thursday the 2nd, which is today. And Cineworld are showing Home, SpongeBob, SquarePants and Seventh Seal on autism-friendly screenings. And they also have Cinderella on the 5th, which is Sunday.
Great.
Now, they have those screenings regularly held at 11 a.m. in Cineworld on the first Sunday of every month.
Super.
But on because it's Autism Day.
Autism Day.
Thursday.
Lovely. That's great news. And then moving on to TV, Felicity, what have you got for us?
Well, this week is Holy Week.
Yes.
On Friday, on RT1, the Nationwide team commemorate Good Friday, and they visit. As you know, Nationwide go around the country and visiting different places, and they visit Carlow, where Christians of different denominations come together, and they've provided a facility to support those in the community who have difficulty and need help. The centre is known as St. Clair's Hospitality, so the Nationwide team will be going there. It's in Craig Cullen, and they'll be meeting some of the volunteers and hearing about their work. Also, Colin Fillion goes to Limerick City, where a local priest has used the Lenten period to spread good news in the form of technology. How technology is being used, I guess, in these times in to deliver the Christian message.
Yeah, where is that in Limerick?
Yeah, Moy Ross.
Moy Ross.
That's a particularly well-known area in Limerick. You may be familiar with it. It's quite a deprived area, actually.
Okay.
And Passion Plays feature in a report by Mary Fanning, replicating, now I'm going to try and say this name, but it's German, so it's Oberammergau tradition in Bavaria in Germany. They've been performing Passion Plays since 1634, and in Ireland, Passion Plays are taking place all over Ireland. And Mary Fanning goes to Ballylinan in County Leash, where 180 ordinary folk produce their Passion Play.
Just for the non-religious people out there, Passion Plays, they're not sort of saucy, raunchy plays.
No, sure it's in the Christian tradition. It's the it refers to Christ's passion before the his arrest, his trial, his crucifixion.
Yeah.
And this is known as the Passion. Would you believe also on RT1 RT1 on Sunday the 5th, they have a special documentary following the community involvement of residents in Nicker, a village in rural County Limerick, who staged Ireland's first 24-hour Passion Play last year.
I haven't heard of Nicker.
No, neither have I.
But I assume they make underpants in Nicker.
Well, they're known now for producing a very very involved Passion Play.
Yeah.
Nearly all of the village were involved in it. And there was estimates of 3,000 to 6,000 people turned out in the parish for that weekend, last weekend. So they recreated the Passion of Our Lord from the agony at Gethsemane to his final crucifixion. So that's a special documentary.
Sounds good.
Yes, it's very in keeping with the Holy Week, Paul.
Yeah, I should get more in keeping with the Holy Week myself. And then we have The Nightingale Falling.
Yeah, this is an Irish independent feature film. It's a period drama set during the War of Independence. It's having its Irish television premiere this Easter Sunday at 10 p.m. on UTV Ireland. It was a mixed bag media production in association with Northern Ireland Screen. So it was actually showed last September and it was released in cinemas, and this will be its Irish television premiere. It's set in the 1920 during the Anglo-Irish War.
Okay, and there's a documentary about that as well, I think.
Yeah, the making of A Nightingale Falling is going to be broadcast on the same day at 4:30 p.m. And it looks at the community involvement in County Offaly.
Okay, well, listen, thanks very much, Felicity, for coming in, and we'll have more of your flicks and picks next week.
Thank you.
We're joined now by actor Owen Quinn to talk about acting and how to get on in the industry. Welcome, Owen.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
Good to have you here on Near FM. So, Owen, how long have you been acting?
I'd say... Well, some people say I've been acting all my life, but I kind of went professional about maybe close to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, up to then, I just kind of did a few small parts and amateur plays and things like that, you know. And
yeah.
But then after that, I just kind of, I started doing special extra work years ago on Fair City, and then I just kind of got bitten by the bug, as they say.
Yeah, and what is it in particular that you like about acting? Is it the buzz, the live,
it's,
the live
it's
stuff?
The buzz, and you're always learning, and there's always just the people you work with. You're always learning from them, and yeah, it would be mostly the buzz and all the excitement, and every day is different, you know.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe you can tell some of our listeners some of the projects that you've been involved with in the past.
A few years ago, I worked on Fair Seas. That was probably my first kind of a professional kind of job, I should say.
Yeah.
I loved that. It was great role. And that was a good few years ago. And then from then, I just moved on. I did. I've worked on a lot of independent features, and I did work for ITV over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
With Trevor MacDonald, and more or less back here, all independent films mostly. No big huge Hollywood budget just yet, but aiming to get there.
Your latest project is called In View, and that's not out yet. I think it's being edited at the moment.
It's been edited at the moment. We only wrapped there say about a month ago.
Yeah, and what's that about, Owen?
That's about a female detective. And her, her name is Ruth Donnelly, and she's a guard detective, as I said, and she loses a baby while she's pregnant, and then she just can't cope. So husband ends up taking his life, which is another blow for her. So she just, it's based around her and, her life and how she copes or tries to cope, and how she sees the rest of her days through, and she just becomes an alcoholic, and she just basically can't deal with what's happening around her and the repercussions of what she's done. And without ruining it, I'll say no more.
Okay, very good. And there's a couple of big names in it, I think, is it reasonable?
Yeah, there's some great actors I had the privilege of working with. I was starstruck when I met Gerard McSorley first, from Veronica Gear and Braveheart and Inside and Dancing. Just amazing Irish talent. So meeting with him and getting to know him. He actually stayed with me for a while in my apartment. So it was great getting to know him. And then there was like Keelan Dunn from Love Hate, Stuart Graham, Kieran McManaman. Yeah, some great talent there, you know, that just what you learn from working with people like that. And what they have to offer, you know, kind of a bit in awe of actors like that, you know.
Yeah, and is that, are Underground Films involved with that picture in any way?
Yeah, they produced it. They're one of the producers of it.
So is that Dave Byrne?
Dave Byrne, yeah, yeah.
And then you're in another film called The Devil's Woods. What's that about?
The Devil's Woods, yeah. That was, I was approached about that. The director was at the premiere of Limp, and yeah. He approached me about it, and he had a lot of it shot. I think he had about 70% of it shot. So he just asked me after the premiere. He offered me a role in it, and he wrote a part especially for me when I said yes, which was a lovely gesture, you know. I was kind of blown away. So that was, we finished filming that, I think it might have been September, so that's just about ready to roll now and hit the festivals.
And is that a horror?
It's a horror, yeah. It's about a gang of two young couples that head off to a music festival, and they stop off in the woods on the way, as you do, and just the implications and everything, what's happening around there and what the trouble they get into. And so I think it'd be great now. I haven't seen much of it yet. I saw some of it, but I'm looking forward to seeing it now, as everyone else is, you know.
So, yeah, and you mentioned,
I think it'll do very well, you know. It's not your run-of-the-mill kind of horror, you know. It's just different things in there that would, you know, original ideas. And, you know, great cast. Stephen Cromwell, who was in Red Rock at the moment, is in that as
yeah,
well.
Very good. Now, you mentioned Limp, Owen, and that's another feature you were in a while back, and I think you mentioned you were in the at the Seattle Independent Film Festival with...
Yeah, that's right. It was over there, I think it was last May.
How was that?
That was great. It was great to see an American response to it, you know. And it was great. I flew over there, spent a few days in Seattle, and obviously went to the film, and got a great reaction, as it has everywhere. And audience loved it.
And that's quite an odd subject matter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's for people who haven't heard about it. It's about a lonely man called Mr. Grott. And he ends up, he falls in love with a girl he works with, and she doesn't want anything to do with him. So rather than not having her at all, he has her dead. So he ends up killing her and having a relationship with her corpse.
Mm.
So it might sound ghoulish, but it's not. I mean, I'd say it's a love story, and some people agree with me, but a lot of people have their own take on it, you know,
yeah.
So, which is great. It kind of divides an audience, and they see the different, they perceive it in different ways, you know, but to me it's a love story.
Yeah, and you came away from Seattle with a rather strange award, didn't you?
Yeah, the creepiest character accolade, which was something different, yes. But and that was great, like, you know.
Do you have that hidden away somewhere in your apartment?
I have it hidden away, yeah.
Yeah.
But I know it's great just to kind of realise you've done a good job, you know, and that you're acknowledged for, which is nice.
Yeah, and in terms of what's maybe coming up then in the future, you're working on something called Expired, is that right?
Yeah, that's the promo shoot was done there a few weeks ago, and the cameras are hoping to get rolling just at the mid-end of the summer. So that's about female trafficking and the drugs underworld in Dublin and things like that. So it's an amazing script by Eamon Tully,
right.
A great writer and director.
Sounds
so
good.
I'm looking forward to getting stuck into that.
Great. And finally, on is there any advice you give to somebody who is interested in getting involved in acting? What would you tell them?
Well, it's a hard slog, and I mean, if you keep your head down and just keep working hard, you'll get there, you know. But I mean, sometimes you feel like giving up and throwing in the towel. But it's usually when you feel like that something happens and then it spurs you on to keep going. But just work hard, and if you have a talent, it would be recognised. So just give it a go, and best of luck.
Yeah, some sound advice there. Well, listen, best of luck with everything, Owen, yourself, and thanks for coming in to Near FM and sharing with us.
Great stuff. Thanks, William Paul.
Welcome to Near FM at the Movies. With nearly $300 million in worldwide box office receipts banked so far, the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water is already a huge earner for Paramount Pictures. That figure is twice what the first SpongeBob movie made, and my guess is there won't be too much spongy arm-twisting needed to convince our star to return for a third installment. That's one of the reasons why Hollywood loves animation at the moment. You don't have difficult negotiations with your big actors, you don't have to rent large expensive trailers, and you don't have to pay big salaries. The downside is you can't get them on the Graham Norton show. One of the other advantages with animation is that you can basically create whatever crazy world the writer imagines, and this movie has plenty of craziness. It's business as usual in Bikini Bottom as the film opens, but when a diabolical land-based pirate played by Antonio Banderas steals the secret Krabby Patty formula, SpongeBob and his nemesis Plankton are forced to team up in order to get it back. Along the way, they build a time machine, turn themselves into superheroes by writing in a magic book, and meet a dolphin wizard named Bubbles who oversees the universe. I told you it was crazy. Here's the trailer.
At last, it is mine. With this magic book, any evil plan I write comes true. But to harness his power, I need the final page that is protected deep below the surface by one legendary hero.
Will you stop playing that tiny piano?
Sorry.
Attack!
I think we have a few minutes before he gets here.
Oh, he's right on top of us. Burn the door.
Got it.
Bullseye.
From Paramount Animation and Nickelodeon Movies.
That pirate's gonna destroy our world!
Aren't you overreacting a bit?
Patrick, what are you doing?
Vandalizing stuff.
Isn't that your house?
To save their world.
Come on, team! Let's get that book back!
They must come.
Ow!
To ours.
What is this place?
Uh-oh!
In 2015,
a giant hairy porpoise beast.
We need to get these guys back in the water.
Put your back in the way.
Ugh, this place smells awful.
Comes the 3D motion picture event. So hot.
Oh, where have you been all my life?
This is uncomfortable.
And so extreme.
There's the book! Now it's our turn to rewrite the story.
You need new pens.
Those guys must work out.
I think they're in my spin class.
All right, here comes the pain.
It ain't good.
Huh?
They're beautiful.
SpongeBob movie, Sponge Out of Water, in 3D.
Mr. Super Awesomeness, take him down. Maybe we should have picked a better superpower for you, Patrick.
There's obviously an audience for these movies, and a big one, but you really have to be a fan of the original series, otherwise I don't think there's anything different here to win over new admirers. That hasn't, however, stopped the producers trying, and in their efforts to attract more bums on seats, the film is also released in 3D, and believe it or not, in Irish. Aardman Animation, who recently produced the excellent Shaun the Sheep, target a similar aged audience, but they make movies that are clever and witty. SpongeBob is neither of those things, but it is insane and silly. If that's your thing, then you love this. If it's not, stay away. We scored 3 out of 5 stars. And that's all for Near FM at the Movies. So hello and welcome to the Film Carnival section with Nina. Hi, Nina.
Hey there.
Great to have you here. Okay, and Nina, of course, in your Film Carnival section, you look at the IFI film base and festival news. So what's new at the IFI this week?
Well, first of all, there is a preview and a Q&A session of the movie I Used to Live Here tonight at 6:30.
Yeah.
And I Used to Live Here is actually the winner of the Best First Feature Audience Award at the Galway Film Fleet. It should be good.
Yeah, I think the director is due to be in on the show next week, Frank Berry. And of course, he's a local man. He lectures at Coláiste Dúlach here in Coolock. And it's a very, I actually reviewed the film last week on the show, scored a 4 out of 5 stars. It's a very moving piece, very accomplished first feature, and great performances by the lead actress and actor who were unknown before they starred in the film. So it's a really great film. I used to live here. And the Q&A, I presume, will be with the director, I would imagine.
Yeah, Frank Berry and Dr. Tony Bates.
Dr. Tony Bates from Headstrong, that's right.
After the movie, obviously.
Yeah. And what else is on at the IFI?
Something Must Break, which is a fiction feature by Esther Martin Bergsmark. And it's a transgender love story set in Stockholm.
Yeah, it says Something Must Break is raw, authentic and intimate filmmaking that packs a weighty emotional punch. Wow, that sounds interesting. Remains to be seen, I suppose. There's Blade Runner, the final cut.
Yeah, the director's cut, as it was meant to be seen. So if you enjoyed Blade Runner the first time, I'd advise go to the IFI and see the new version.
Yeah, Ridley Scott, of course, is the famous director of Blade Runner. Have you seen the original Blade Runner?
I have not, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, it's quite an old film, but it's iconic, and it's on a lot of people's top 10 or even number one on their list of favourite films. So the final cut, I think Blade Runner is historically long, and the final cut is probably even longer.
Most likely.
So get along to that. And then finally at the IFI, Altman.
Altman, yes. It's a documentary about the about Robert Altman's career, which is really interesting considering what a visionary he was to filmmaking as a general. And I've actually seen it already.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I can definitely recommend it to anyone who's involved or interested in filmmaking. It is incredibly inspiring.
Okay. And what sort of scenes are in the movie? Are there any interviews with Robert Altman?
There are. Not very recent, I believe, but there's a bunch of past interviews as well as on-set filmings.
Yeah.
And a little short film produced and shot by his children, actually.
Oh, that sounds interesting, yeah.
And it's with the voiceovers from family and himself.
Great, so that's the IFI. Also, there's The Tale of Princess Kaguya?
Yeah, that started last week. It's still going on. But this Saturday, there is a dubbed version in English.
Okay.
All the others are Japanese and with English subtitles.
Yeah.
And there is also a competition going on to do with the movie.
Yeah.
And as a prize, you can win 7 DVDs off the Studio Ghibli movies.
7 DVDs. Oh yeah, Studio Ghibli. They produce Princess Kaguya.
Yeah. It's from the director Isao Takahata.
Okay.
Who also directed The Grave of the Fireflies, which is a very sad movie.
And there's a special event also.
Yes, there's the special screening of Glassland, and a Q&A session afterwards, which is happening on Friday the 17th of April at 6:30. The cast and the producer, the director, they'll all be there for the Q&A.
Yeah. It says, following his acclaimed debut Pilgrim Hill, Gerard Barrett's brilliant and affecting new film Glassland confirms him as the most vital young filmmaker working in Ireland today. Barrett gets powerful performances from Toni Collette and Jack Rayner, who, of course, was in What Richard Did. So that's interesting. And then there's the IFI Spotlight.
Yep, and they will review the Irish film and television output of the last 12 months. It's a full-day event. And, well, if you want to go for the full day from 11 till 5, tickets are €8. But you can also just go to the morning or just the afternoon session for each €5. For more information, you can go on ifi.ie/spotlight or get ticket at the IFI box office 0167934777.
Okay, and then there's also the lunchtime screenings at the IFI.
Yep. Again, you can get get tickets at the IFI box office or email boxoffice@irishfilm.ie. And there's 2 programs at the moment.
Okay, and so there's program 1, which is I'm going to try and pronounce this in Irish. Our Aaron, and that says newsreel stories celebrate the arrival of spring with new fashions, hairstyles, and the spring show. Another unpronounceable name in Irish, where it's a film about farm animals and their offspring in the springtime. That sounds riveting. All in an April evening. Prolific amateur filmmaker Father Jackie Moran illustrates the poem read by Dennis Brennan. Dublin Spring Show. Lively livestock compete at the Spring Show. Two movies about farm animals. And then there's programme 2, Ireland in Spring. Colm O'Leary's warmly hued film records pageants, parades, folk dancing and street life at Untustle, the nationwide festival of Irish culture. OK, Nina, and then Filmbase?
Filmbase is hosting a Polish cinema night on the 11th of April from 8 till 11:30 p.m.
Sounds good, yeah.
And this time the movie they're showing is called Innocent Sorceress, with Polish jazz music as a score.
Well, that sounds interesting, yeah. Okay, and What Lies Within? It's a Mary Coffey solo exhibition.
Yes, it's going on from April 8th until April 14th. And it's supposed to illustrate the essence of abstract expressionism, spontaneity and subconscious creation.
Wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? And then we have the Screen Studio series for actors.
Yep, it's designed to help people to improve their acting. So there's a bunch of different topics they're going to go into, like comedy, voice technique, stunt fighting practice and things like that. It's starting on the 14th of April and it lasts until the 1st of July. But places are limited and it is quite expensive. It costs €420.
Oh, that is expensive, isn't it?
Yeah, but they are including a lot of things.
Okay, and any festival news?
The Belfast Film Festival is coming up on the 16th until the 25th of April. The festival pass is £55. You can get more information on belfastfilmfestival.org.
Yes, and of course we have the winners of the Audience Awards at the Jameson Dublin International Film Festival, which finished last Sunday. Influential key member of the German New Wave, filmmaker Wim Wenders scooped the Audience Award this year with his documentary film The Salt of the Earth, a portrait of the extraordinary life of photographer and environmentalist Sebastio Salgado. Documentaries were a huge hit this year, with audiences as 7 documentaries were in the top 10, including The Salt of the Earth, Fortune's Wheel, Take the Boat, Tana Bana, The Breach, Should the Lion, and After the Dance. Irish gem Fortune's Wheel, based on the infamous lion tamer from Fairview, came in second place for the Audience Award. The Shorts Audience Award was given to Michael Lennox's highly entertaining Boogaloo and Graham. Honouring career achievements, the Volta Award was given to 3 hugely worthwhile and influential recipients, iconic British filmmaker Kenneth Branagh, French auteur-director Laurent Canté, and Hollywood legend Julie Andrews. OK, and before we go, Nina, you wanted to mention one more thing?
Yeah, the Dublin Greek Film Festival is happening from the 23rd until the 26th of April.
Okay, so all you Greek-Irish people out there, if you have an interest in Greek film, get along to that. Thanks, Nina.
No problem.
Yeah, that was Nina there with all the film base, IFI and festival news. And now we're back with Gemma and Dan the Man. And
still here.
Yeah, still here. We have a bit more just before we go. Just in case you want a little bit more news, if we haven't given you enough. Quickly run through IFTN news,
yep.
Gemma.
Brown Bag Films celebrate an Emmy win, so that's kind of cool. They got Dublin-based animation studio Brown Bag Films, which they're pretty famous, and they actually employ a lot of people, which is pretty good. Graduates and stuff. They're celebrating an Emmy win for their work on 3D animation series Peter Rabbit and Doc McStuffins.
Yeah, doesn't say how they're celebrating, but presumably lots of jumping up and down and stuff like that.
Yeah. Lots of jumping them down, you know, Peter Rabbit.
Yeah.
Jumping them down with beers.
Yeah.
It's messy, but someone's got to do, you know?
Yeah.
Also, You're Too Ugly is nominated for...
Excuse me? Okay, so that's the name of the...
I should have done air quotes there.
Air quotes, yeah,
You're
for
too
our listeners.
Ugly, nominated for an EFA Young Audience Award. So following its successful premiere at the... I always get these really hard words... Berlin Ale?
Yeah,
film
that'll
festival.
Do.
The European Film Academy have announced that the Irish feature film, You're Ugly Too, even, has been selected as one of the 3 nominees in the EFA Young Audience Awards. So I think it's a children's film between 12 and 14-year-olds.
Beautiful.
And it stars
Aidan somebody.
hate somebody.
That'll do. That's all we have time for because we're running out of time. Thanks, guys, for coming in. And we'll speak to you all next week, yeah?
Okie dokie. Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
See you then.